time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It's time for another Lickin' on Lending podcast. It's Monday, May 20th. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. Folks, I'm excited to have with me today on the podcast two industry veterans. One that we've had on a number of times, his name is Jack Nunnery of Texas Capital Bank, and another good friend that I don't believe we've had on the podcast, that's Brenda Clem. Stay tuned all the way to the Hot Topic segment. Anyway, we're proud to be a part of the Industry Syndicate. Again, you can go industrysyndicate.com, check it out. See all the other podcasts. We're pleased to have this affiliation, proud to be a part of them. They call me the pioneer, you know, which means you're an old man. Like, and you pioneered this whole mortgage podcast thing. So as did Alice, Andy, Joe, and we're so grateful to be here with you, bringing you hot information. Before we get started, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, as well as Black Knight. And in this today's competitive market, it's critical for lenders to deliver decision, quality, business intelligence right to the employees at the right time. The answer to this demand is Black Knight's product, which they have developed. It's called Actionable Intelligence Platform, to deliver data that drives growth and reduces costs. And to learn about this intelligent platform, I encourage you to go over to blackknightinc.com. Also, Open Mortgage, the leading buyer of reverse mortgage loans and the home of some of the top LOs in the country. Check them out at openmortgage.com. Also, Finastra, Fusion Mortgage Bot solution, automatically addresses many of the compliance issues, delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction. And they really have this mobile app. I keep talking about it. It's a very powerful tool, and many of the community bankers that we're talking to at the conferences are using it and having great success. Then also, our newest sponsor, United Bank, headquartered in Connecticut. Their warehouse lending division is joining us, Ken Jones, and one of our regular listeners, Jim Harrison, left and just joined up with them in the warehouse division. And we're so glad to have their sponsorship. Jim said, hey, if you want to get the word out what we're doing, we need to get on that Lickin' on Lending podcast. Jim, thank you so much for championing this. And then also for Ken and the whole Bank United team. We're excited to have them. We had the launch call last week. Very excited about them having them here with us. But if you're looking for a warehouse lender, check out our website. We're going to have all their information up there shortly. But United Bank, get a hold of Jim Harrison. Many of you know who he is, as well as Ken Jones, and there's the rest of the team we'll be introducing shortly. Also, a special thank you to Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Both of these co-ops create competitive advantages for their lender members as well as the vendor members. I mean, we both are there working together up close personal. It's a great relationship. And then Velma, which is an efficient mortgage marketing email platform, as well as KnowledgeCoup, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders, and Vidyard, an online video platform for businesses, allows you to communicate internally with LOs, have underwriters communicate out to borrowers, as well as providing a lot of information that was, you know, quite honestly, poorly communicated, or communicated in such a way where it left a lot of ambiguity. What did you mean when you said that you wanted this or that, and it was a conditional loan? This eliminates it. If you start using video platforming and video messaging, I encourage you to check it out. We can help you walk you through it. That's some of the consulting we're working on. And also, special thank you goes out to Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe for their contributions to this podcast each and every week. Let's hear from Rob Van Raphorst and what he has for us this week with the MBA Mortgage Minute.
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, Ginnie Mae released its report on Issuer Liquidity Meeting Series. As part of its ongoing effort to manage counterparty risk, Ginnie Mae held these meetings earlier this year to better assess the current landscape and potential risks present in times of stress, and also evaluate existing contingency plans utilized during an economic downturn. Also last week, the House passed standalone legislation, H.R. 2578, introduced by Congresswoman Maxine Waters and Ranking Member Patrick McHenry, to extend the National Flood Insurance Program from May 31st, 2019 through September 30th, 2019. And finally, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan signed SB 678, which will enable the use of remote online notarization in the state. Maryland now becomes the 10th state in 2019 to enact RON legislation, and the 20th state to establish RON as a permissible method of performing notarizations. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for the update, Rob. That's great stuff. Hey, folks, be sure to go to the MBA website at mba.org and check out all that they have available on their website. They've got great information, all the conferences that are upcoming this year. And also, the educational material is so rich, and all the resources to help you run your business more effectively. Again, mba.org. The digital business card, folks, it's working. Just got three more emails on Sunday saying, hey, Dave, your card was shared. Do you know when you share your business card, what happens to it? Folks, this is innovative, and you need to check it out. I talk about it regularly, but I'm telling you, it works. Three more people. And again, I made a phone call to one, and they're saying, yeah, how did you know? We're thinking about checking you out and using you, having you do some consulting to us. So really encouraging. Check out the digital business card on our website at the top right-hand corner. Forward to hearing from you on that. Les Parker brings us the TM Spotlight this week with a macro view of the markets and also a hilarious soundbite. So let's hear what Les has for us this week. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by LoanLogix. Where do rates go? Where do they hang? What blows up? Where's the gold? U.S.-China trade deal making displays the good, the bad, and the ugly of negotiations. It offers more drama than a spaghetti western.
What was that?
It's called the medium sketch.
The medium sketch?
Yeah, it wasn't rare, and it certainly wasn't well done.
After decades of the USA building moral hazard with weak negotiations with many countries, communist China found a wall in the U.S. negotiators. Good for low rates. These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Thank you, Les. Listeners, be sure to go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to Les's daily newsletter. Alice, so good to have you with us. For those listeners that do not know you, Alice, I think it's important that we point out that you are the Vice President of Education and Training for Union Home Mortgage. You have a Master Certified Mortgage Banker, a CMB designation from the MBA, and you're here to provide us today with a weekly legislative update.
Thanks, Dave. Hi, everyone. I have a few important announcements from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and then one very important news item that I want to make sure you're all aware of. So first of all, from the CFPB, and yes, you get to call them the CFPB now, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau name is back. First of all, they have a notice of proposed rulemaking that's going to change some parts of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Now, normally when we think of this act from a mortgage origination standpoint, we go, you know what, we give people one disclosure and then we don't really have to worry about it. It's really all about servicing since it's debt collection, or it's about you personally if you ever had a debt that you were being sought after to repay. And sometimes that can even go as far as maybe a family member who's now deceased and for some reason people are coming after you to get money. Here's a few things about this proposal, and actually it's a notice of proposed rulemaking. So basically they're telling us this is going to be a proposed rule and to watch out for it. Essentially, it's going to be adding more information about email and texting, and how much can somebody bother you if you owe them a debt, and what would the limitations be around those areas. So just a few tidbits, not anything major, but as a consumer, you might want to take a look at it if you feel that the rule might be too strict or too tight in what it would allow or wouldn't allow for the type of debt collection practices if you're the entity that is doing the collecting. So that's a 90-day notice of proposed rulemaking. It was published on May 7th, so you've got a couple of months to check into that for the FDCPA, some minor enhancements. Also, the CFPB has published basically an announcement of a notice of proposed rulemaking, right, to make it even more obscure. This is really open-ended. It was published May 16th, and this is all about HMDA. Was CFPB revisiting, are we asking for too much information? What is the actual cost of collecting all these additional data fields that were thrown into Regulation C in the past couple of years? And really, should they even allow free-form texting? And just really open-ended. Not too often do you get a notice of proposed rulemaking where it's basically open-ended to any ideas about HMDA reporting. So this one's pretty interesting, where you really get to open up your thoughts and really pour out what you really think of HMDA and whether it has any value, and really, I think, offering them some numbers for how much it's actually costing. In prior notices of proposed rulemaking, and actually in all final rules, they do have an accounting of what their estimate is for how much it would cost an institution to implement the regulation. It's always worth taking a look at those and then comparing it to the costs that you're showing them. And I think most times our costs are much higher, but it's worth taking a look if you want to comment on that rule. That one was published on May 16th, and so you've got a couple of months to respond to that. Also, on May 2nd, there was a framework published for the Office of Financial Asset Control, the OFAC rule that we all know does limits some of our financial transactions. I can't find a context for why this is getting published. It seems to say most of what we already know about OFAC. I know some things have been in the news lately from the president that maybe this would be repealed. OFAC was too strict. Should we get rid of some of it? So I'm not sure if this is coming out as a result of some of that. So, but it's worth taking a read, taking a look at it for those of you in the compliance space. But the framework for what a company should have for its OFAC policy, the way this is written, is still the same five pillars that most companies are using today. Now, for that ultimate big announcement that I wanted to make sure everyone is aware of, and that is that Marianne Collins has been a leader in our industry for more than three decades. I have known Marianne for many years. She has been the executive director and chief operating officer of the Ohio Mortgage Bankers Association. And she's going to be retiring at the end of this year. And we're very excited that the MBA has just renamed its award for outstanding state and local association leadership as the Marianne Collins Award. This is a great honor for someone who is so well-deserving. She really has been an advocate for our industry at so many levels, and we just are so happy that the MBA chose to make Marianne named as the person for this award. It is a great honor for her, and as an industry, we're very, very excited for her to have this award and this honor, and it will long live even though she will be retired. So thank you, Marianne Collins, for all you have done for our industry, and we're very excited that this award is now named in your honor. Dave, that's my report. Back to you.
Alice, thanks for that update. We're always good to have you here and providing us good information on what's going on in the legislature on the Hill that could impact our business. Appreciate it. Folks, if you're looking for a fun and easy training technology, listen to what our friends at Knowledge Cube have to offer.
Hi, Nathan here from the Knowledge Cube. How are you at storytelling? You may have seen the J.J. Abrams TED Talk about this mystery box that he got. He tells the story of his grandfather giving him a gift, but he decided, for some reason, to never open it. To this day, it remains a mystery to him as to what's inside that box. When you are teaching your courses, how can you incorporate great storytelling and a mystery box into the lesson? See, that's what we strive to do here at the Knowledge Cube. So check out KnowledgeCube.com for fun and easy training for the mortgage professionals, all video-based and all powered by a smart digital platform.
Alan, so good to have you here with us with a tech update. You know, Alan, I was thinking when we go to these conferences, what's one of the number one things talked about in the halls? Mortgage technology. And more people are quoting, hey, did you hear Alan on Lickin' on Lending and his update? I love it. So what do you have for us this week, Mr. Technology?
Today, we're going to talk about a couple topics. I want to cover digital lending, e-closings, e-mortgages. We're going to talk about personalization throughout the process. And we're going to end today with UMDP, which is Unified Mortgage Data Program. So let's get started. U.S. Bank has unveiled their digital mortgage experience. They partner with Blend. It's an enhanced experience. It includes simple, smart, and secure digital applications. The best part is it is completed by the borrower, and at any time you can pull that ripcord and you can speak with a U.S. Bank mortgage professional. But really the best part about this announcement is that this HELOC application shows a 50% reduction in turn time and shaving off as much as 19 days from the process. And we have to mention that Ally has partnered with Better on their digital mortgage experience. And as we know, Ally is an online-only bank, so now they have these new digital capabilities. It's an end-to-end digital experience. Customers that are looking for a loan can go through their online process, but you know, Ally really is investing because what they've done is they've actually added to the Series C funding with Better. Where are we going here? It's a personalized experience. Customers want to do business with their financial institution. We know that we need to remove the barrier, and it is all about experience and that personalization. These are just two more examples of where we're going. And if you're driven and your strategy is to enhance that customer experience, you want to take a look at what they're doing and even listen to some of the podcasts from prior weeks. So let's talk about e-mortgages and e-closings. Roostify has added e-signature and e-closing technology to the mortgage platform that they have right now. They've done this with DocuTech, and really what they're doing right now, you know, if you look at companies they're working with like JPMorgan Chase, LendingTree, Guild Mortgage, and even TD Bank, they now have the ability to do e-signatures and e-closings during the process. It's a more efficient and streamlined process. This helps reduce so much risk. And so I was searching the internet and I found that Fannie Mae just did an announcement, and really it's sort of a guide. What is the difference between an e-mortgage and an e-closing? As you take a look at the article, it mentions the things that we would expect, but risk is part of it. And I'm going to mention these real quick. It's, you know, we're going to save time, we're going to save money, we're going to empower our borrowers, but we're going to reduce risk. If you remember back, and really if you just read about cyber crimes and phishing schemes, you'll see that, you know, borrowers get their email accounts hacked. There's monitoring that occurs. And so when these hackers see those financial transactions come through, they start to play an actor in that. And really what happens is there's a lot of borrowers out there today that have been sending their wires or sending money to the wrong person because somebody is pretending to be that title agent or the attorney involved in that transaction. And so if we can enable not only our industry to be more fast and efficient, but if we can enable our borrowers to be part of a secure transaction, that is really moving the needle and helping mortgage transactions be less risky and to help them move a lot faster. So really big deal there. If you're not doing e-closing and e-mortgages, you want to take a look at it. And that takes us to e-notes, which we'll talk about on a different week. Finally, today, we want to talk about data. We want to talk about UMDP, the data program. Okay, so there are a couple dates you need to know about. The first one is July 1st, 2019. Of course, that is the new 1003 or the Fannie Form 65. As of July 1st, you can start submitting loans in that new format. But remember, as of February 1st next year, 2020, you have to send all of your loans over in that format. In addition to that, today, May 20th is the next important date. You need to be submitting phase 3 mandatory data fields. So you've had enough time to work on those fields, but today is the date that any loan originated after January of this year has to now be submitted over May 20th. That is today. Well, great week ahead. Enjoy the conference for any of you that are there. And if you're listening to this after the conference, don't forget next week we'll talk more personalization, more chatbots. We'll talk about online banking and lending. Looking forward to it. Remember, if you want to chat, my email is alan@tms-advisors.com. And to all you awesome, amazing, wonderful listeners, have a great week.
I encourage you to reach out and get a hold of Alan. You will not be disappointed. That guy is a wealth of information. You can reach Alan by emailing alan@tms-advisors.com. Let's get over to Scott Gordon of Open Mortgage to talking about the science of sales.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. Last time we examined the first element of a story, a relatable hero. Today I want to examine the next essential element every story needs, a relevant challenge. The challenge is the obstacle or opportunity your hero faces. For example, a company, one of your competitors, perhaps, could be the obstacle. A particular situation could be the challenge. These are gold mines for scenario-based stories. The economy, another gold mine for stories for millennials and seniors alike. Robbed of their ability to purchase a new home if it were not for you. Please note, your challenge does not always have to be negative. An opportunity, for example, could be the challenge to which your hero rises. Without a challenge or obstacle, your stories are boring and useless. Let's take a look at a series of escalated challenges. Sally goes to the store, who cares, to buy some groceries, still don't care, for her 5-year-old daughter, Carolyn, who is sick and hasn't eaten in days because her home was robbed. Their food and emergency money were taken, and her paycheck from her second job will not be deposited for another 3 days. Okay, now I care. It's up to you to understand the purpose of the story and scale the relevant challenge with what your relatable hero is capable of, as well as serving the overall message of your story. Challenges face both you and your borrowers on a daily basis. Make note of them, harness them, and make them your own to turn yourself into a story-selling machine. Remember, crafting effective stories is a science. There are formulas to follow that will yield measurable and proven results. It's not magic, it's the science of sales.
Check it out at openmortgage.com. Also, someone I enjoy hanging with is Andy Schell. We got the Profit Doctor here. Good to have you here.
Hey.
You're amazing. You are one amazing. Enjoy hanging around with you. So what's going on in the world of making money, bud? I was working on accounting here. So I'm sending out an invoice, and, you know, I'm going like, and I don't know that people appreciate all that goes into the accounting realm, and you really helped me gain appreciation for it. So I had to update an invoice for someone, and it was an invoice from last year that after we close out the books, it's there. And I just wanted to delete it. I just wanted to void it out. Do you think I could do that?
No.
Because it was last year. And as soon as I started doing that, I wanted to delete it and hit the override button. I heard your voice in the back of my head. Now, Dave, remember, there are unintended consequences when you just do that. So I backed off, and I'm going, dang, there's accounting system, dang, dang, dang. And I was just having an adage because I wanted to get it done. I wanted to get it checked off. But I think that's the piece that a lot of mortgage lenders get frustrated with, Andy. They don't realize the consequences when they start messing with the accounting. So love on your accounting people. I love on Andy. So that's my segue into your segment, my friend.
Well, thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave. It's kind of like one of the worst things that you can do in accounting is to Nike it.
Nike it.
If you Nike something in accounting, you're almost certainly going to break it. There's reasons why things are. There's reasons why you can't just delete an invoice. There's reasons why you have to have certain documents before you can set up invoices. There's reasons. Accounting is a bunch of rules. There's lots and lots of rules. And you know, I'm more of a finance guy than I am an accounting guy, but the rules of accounting are something that any business owner needs to understand because, as we've said many, many times, accounting is the language of business. And if you want to speak business, you have to know accounting, and you have to know enough accounting to be able to really understand the content of the financial statements, the P&L, the balance sheet, the statement of cash flows. You need to understand how it all fits together and why they are where they are, because there are reasons for everything. There's a reason why debits are on the left. There's a reason why you credit to generate revenue. There's elements to this stuff that make sense. And it's a little hard at first. There's no question about it. Kind of having the light bulb of accounting, oh, I get it, go off, takes a while. It's almost always not intuitively obvious, but once you understand what's happening, it goes, oh, I get it, I see why that's like
that. Yep. As soon as I saw that invoice was created last year and having to make some adjustments to it, it was one of those things where I'm going, yep, I know why this is being difficult. I just can't go in and just change it. So anyway, so good to have you on, your friend. So what you got for us today?
Yeah, so I'm going to talk more about how to make money Success by design. Success is not random. We make money because we do the things that help us make money. Just like science talked, Scott talked about the science of sales, there's a science to profit. There's processes that we follow to make things happen so that we make more money. So today I was going to talk a little bit about measurement. And measurement is super important because you can't measure, you can't manage what you can't measure. So we've got to have measurement in order to have management. So that's kind of easy. And again, that leads us to this whole notion of success is not random. Success is by design. We design to be successful. So one of the tools that we use for measurement is our financial reports. And today is the 13th. So on the 13th of the month, if you're a smaller lender, like 50 loans or less, and you are doing loan-level accounting, which is super important. I'll talk more about that in a second. It's the 13th of the month. You should have your financial statements in your hand. You should have your profit report so you know what the business made. You should have your balance sheet so you know how much cash there is. And you should be able to also know loan-level profitability, where you know how much you made on every single loan. And if every loan is a P&L, then you can know how much did you make on each originator? How much did you make on each branch? How much did you make on every product? What's the profitability of FHA? What's the profitability of conventional? You can break it down even farther than that. You'll also know how much interest did I pay on warehouse line one? How much did I pay on warehouse line two? How much interest, loan held for sale interest income did I generate on the loans funded on warehouse line one? And did I have a positive or negative warehouse spread on warehouse line one versus the loan held for sale that were funded using that warehouse line? You should know all these things. These should be second nature data. This should be something that every business owner knows. Every president of every mortgage company in the country knows within the month, the month following the prior month. So the 13th is a good cutoff date for smaller mortgage companies. Now, when you get to be a bigger mortgage company, like say 300, 400, 500 or more loans a month, it gets more complicated because you've got more warehouse lines to address and more bank accounts to reconcile, and there's just a lot more pieces to the puzzle. And even though you have more staff, it seems consistently to take longer. But you still should have your P&L by the 20th. So bigger companies can get the P&L out by the 20th. And smaller companies by the 10th. As a matter of fact, we have some companies where we do the books. We can get the P&L out by the 3rd, two or three days after the close, really, really fast. But the point is, the really important point is, you got to know profit by loan. So you know that way you'll know branch-level profitability, originator-level profitability, and you'll be able to really make informed decisions about your business. You know, when you're smaller, you can use QuickBooks, customize. You have to customize it a little bit. But you can use QuickBooks when you're smaller, and then when you get bigger, you get a different accounting system like LoanVision or AMB. But with all this stuff, you can measure activity. The key point here is you need to have measurement. You need to measure what's happening both financially and operationally. So when you think about operational measurements, you know, Motivity and their Movation product that's now part of Black Knight was really well known in the industry. Today, there's more, a lot more BI alternatives out there, and even Microsoft BI is becoming popular. So there's lots of ways to do it, and I'm not here to promote one way or the other. I am here to promote measurement. You got to have business intelligence on all of your activities. And so one of the things that's really popular in mortgage lending is to track underwriting turn times. So we go, well, did it take 24 hours? Did it take 7 hours? And then we also measure how long it takes to process every loan, not just how long did it take to get in and get out, but how long did it take? And we also like to measure how many conditions out of underwriting. And what I think is really interesting, and I know, Dave, you'll have a thought about this, one of the things that's really interesting to me is people focus on underwriting turn times. So an underwriting turn time would be slower if there were a ton of conditions. And an underwriting turn time would have a ton of conditions if the processor got an incomplete file and was required, forced to push it into underwriting even if it wasn't ready. And the processor would be forced to do that if the originator took an incomplete 1003. So, and actually what's interesting is that number, the 1003, when the new underwriting document, right. That number may change. But anyway, so yeah. The application process is sitting with a customer, gathering data, having it be a story, a conversation like Scott was talking about, but have the whole application process needs to be, tell me about your life. What are you excited about? What is your vision? What do you hope to accomplish? Tell me about your employment experiences and blah, blah, blah. And from that, you get a really good picture of the good and the bad and the ugly. You'll know about their credit score, you know about their job history, you know about their income stream, you know about their payment history, you know about their credit usage, all that stuff. And from that, you can do a really dynamic, complete 1003 and make sure the customer understands, oh, by the way, we're going to need this, that, and this, and that. So by the time it gets to the processor, the customer's already prepared, and then you get all this stuff into the processor, and they're able to do a complete submission, so then you get very few conditions. And guess what? Underwriting turn times are shorter. Loans go through faster, and they go through faster because you have to have good inputs to get good outputs. So that's the punchline. You got to have good inputs to get good outputs. If you have bad inputs, you'll have bad outputs. And everybody yells at the underwriters when most of the time, when we look at companies, it's the originator that messed it up in an incomplete application and then complains that the processor was slow and that the underwriter was slow and the originator didn't do it right to begin with. So we've got to address cause and effect. We have to point to causation. Why is it that processor was slammed and submitted and you got a bunch of conditions because the file was a mess? Why did that happen? You know, you got to sometimes point right in the mirror and point back at yourself, because sometimes you got to look at the source. What caused the impact, causation, cause and effect? What caused it to happen? So that's part of measurement. Measuring is more than just P&L. It's more than just your cash balance.
Yep.
It's how's your business running. How's it running honestly? So, and again, it's more than just on-time closes. Those are absolutely important. It's more than just fast underwriting turn times. Those are absolutely important. It's also about, did you take a complete 1003? Did you do a good job making certain you fully understood the borrower's condition? And I would say that that's one of the key elements of measurement. That's one of the key elements that drives the efficiency of an independent mortgage company or any mortgage company for that matter, and something that we all need to be measuring as we manage our business. So there you go.
What you can't measure, you cannot manage. And if you're not, exactly. It really makes such a difference what you're measuring. And people are, you know, it's like where your car goes. Where you're looking is oftentimes where your car goes. You can glance off to the side. But if your eyes are focused in the wrong place, you're probably going to stick your car in a bad place. And that's what happens to a lot of people. That's good.
Exactly right. So one quick side note, completely random, but based on what you were talking about, one of the things they teach you when you are learning to ride a motorcycle is if you see a pothole in the road, don't look at it.
Look at it.
Because look away. Because you will go where you look. And it's amazing how that works. Do not look at the pothole. Look away. Look off to the side. And you won't hit it. It's amazing how what you just said is absolutely true. You've got to, you're going to go where you look. And if you're not looking, you're not going to go anywhere. And if you want to look at what your business is doing, you've got to measure it. And to measure it, you've got to have accounting reports and activity reports, operational activity reports. Super, super important. I could care less what system you use. But you got to have reports that measure it.
You can measure it, you can manage it, and it all rolls up to accounting and profitability. And, boy, that is a big, big topic. We could spend a whole hot topic on that. All right, sir,
absolutely.
Have a good one. A special thank you goes out to our sponsors, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, MBA, Lenders One, The Mortgage Collaborative, Velma, Knowledge Cube, Vidyard, and our newest sponsor, United Bank. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.